Christ and Him crucified. That's it. Christ and Him crucified. All of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and it's for all of us to wrestle and find out who God is. And as a caveat, when Jill said to me, "Can I have 5 minutes? I'll give you my first response." Oh, no. And then I said, "You know what? You're part of this church and your voice matters. And I want you to be in a church where your voice matters. Whether you agree with me or disagree with me, it's not about whether you agree with me. It's what God is saying to you. It's what the Holy Spirit is revealing to you." So the word, it says in Scripture, is sharper than a two-edged sword. It will bring division. It will bring a situation where it cuts away the rot and it leaves the good. And we talk about gold and we talk about refinement. That's not what I'm going to speak about today. I'm going to continue in Matthew 5, where we were starting to look at the Beatitudes. But I didn't go into the Beatitudes. The first message was simply on the narrow and the wide. And that was the first evangelistic message I ever preached when I was a young Christian in a church hall in the middle of King's Lynn. Evangelistic, I stretch it. My wife says, "You exaggerate." Well, I do. I'm 6'6". What do they say in the televangelist? Just say it and believe it. I'm 6'6". No. You know what I mean by evangelistic? Sometimes you take the truth and you just expand on it. And that was one of the first messages I ministered on. And then last week I brought a message around judging. Do not judge. Do not be hypocrites. Oh, hang on. I need to check my time because I think I've got till 12:30. So Clive, you're going to have to ring the bell. It's now okay. I've clocked it. Pardon the pun. So I want to continue on that. But I just want to read through the beginning of Matthew 5. Just not to minister on it, but just so that you can hear it. Now Jesus was talking to his disciples. He'd gone up on the mountain and his disciples were with him. And it tells us that there were crowds also listening. And you'll find if you have a debate in the middle of a street, there'll be others that will listen. There'll be others that will hear the conversation when you're in the coffee bar. So it is important on not just what we say, but how we say it. But we've got this sermon, one of the greatest sermons they say that Jesus ever preached. And it says, "Now when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him." So it's just to reiterate, it's not my words, but his words. "And then he began to teach them." He's talking to them. He's talking to the church. He's talking to those that were closest to him. He said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit." And at some point, I'll go through this one verse at a time, but not today. "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those that mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those that hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God." I'm just going to digress. Blessed are the peacemakers. I can remember some years ago, well, as a 14-year-old, I was blessed being a peacemaker. But I wouldn't have used that word blessed, because what would happen is this. I have two of my so-called friends would have a falling out. And this illustration has followed me all through my life, even now, even last week. Two of my friends would have a falling out and I'd stand in the middle and I'd be a peacemaker. And then what would happen is those two would gang up on me and blame me for it. So I can see why it needs to be the Lord blessing those that are peacemakers. But we do need to be those that will bring peace. For they will be called children of God. There's the inheritance. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. And in the same way, they persecuted the prophets who were before you." God, Jesus is bringing that as a sense of encouragement. Then it goes on to say this, and this is my text for today. It's highlighted salt and light, but I just want to talk briefly about salt. It says, "You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot." Now, I had a look around that scripture. And I tried to find out as much as I could about salt. Because at first, when you first look at this, you think salt. What's Jesus saying here? And he answers it himself in one of the other Gospels, in the Gospel of Luke, and I'll come on to that in a moment. But when I looked at salt, salt is, we put salt in our food for taste. It's a preservative. These are what we use salt for. It's to purify. Apparently, years ago, when a baby was born in the Greek time, the Hebrew time, they would rub salt on the baby as a symbol of purification and health. Not to bake it. It was just to purify it. It was a symbol. And apparently, a part of the word salary comes from the Romans, where they used to pay some of the wages to the Roman soldiers in salt, because salt was in such a short demand. It would be part of their salary, and that's where the word is made up. Apparently so. I'm open for you to challenge on that. But I just want to bring what it says in Luke about salt. It says this, in Luke 14:34, salt is good, but if it loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? Question. It is neither fit for the soil or the manure pile. It is thrown out. So let's go back to Matthew, where it's talking about salt. Let's have a look at what it says here. It talks about it being trampled underfoot. And what that means is this: when the salt lost its saltiness, so when you look at the Dead Sea, the salt particles would wash up on the shore and they would dry out and they'd be gathered up for all kinds of things, which I'll explain in a moment. And if it was left there and it got wet again, it got moisture on it, it would lose its saltiness because it wasn't pure salt as we know in the sense of table salt and rock salt. There was other elements, minerals within them, which I failed to write down. But that what would happen is they would use that salt that lost its saltiness to put on the steps of the temples so that the people going up and coming down wouldn't slip. It was just trodden underfoot. Jesus is making some really stark illustrations here. But when we talk about it's new, you are the salt of the earth. You're the salt of the soil. And when we look at Luke, his explanation there, it says it's no longer any good for fertilizer. You see, there's certain minerals, and I think you get potash from it, I think, but please check for yourself. There's certain minerals in the salts that was produced on the edge of the Dead Sea that was good for fertilizer. And also what would happen, it would be a sterilizing agent because they never had flush loos. And to be a bit graphic, whenever they did whatever they did, when they did it, they got a handful of salt and sprinkled it over the top of the dung so that it would clean it. It was a cleansing agent. No longer, it says, if you lose your saltiness, he's talking to his disciples, no longer are you good for the manure heap or fertilizer. And then if we look at what we're saying in Matthew there, it's only good to be trodden on. And we don't want to be Christians that are just trodden on, do we? We want to be Christians that are fruitful. So to be fruitful, we need to have salt in our life. We need to be men and women who will understand that there is a process that God is trying to equip us with. And I want to bring some scriptures, and I hope they knit together. I hope I can speak slowly enough and clearly enough to give you enough for you to look at this for yourself and not just to listen to what I say, but to say, what is God saying actually in these scriptures? So I want to read this portion of scripture out to you. And you might think, where does this come in when it comes to salt? But Jesus was teaching his disciples something, wasn't he? He was teaching them how what kind of attitude they should have and how they should behave. It says in Hebrews 6:6, therefore, let us move beyond elementary teachings about Christ and be taken forward to maturity. This portion of scripture is saying, listen, there are some things which are just foundational. Let's build on them. Let's move forward. And I want to use a word that's not word here. Let's be salt. Let's be salt. Let's be a people that will be have a taste. When people hear the word, they will taste and know that God is good. A people that wherever we go, we bring a cleansing with us. Yes, there is a purification. It's God's word. God's word purifies us. But we are his people and we are to be salt. We are to be light, the following scripture says. That's for another day. But the salt, we want to be useful. Well, I want to be useful. I want to be someone that will be planted in an area, a situation, a circumstance, a church, a family, a workplace where I can be good for that soil that's there. And when you look at the parable of the soils, it's not the parable of the talents, it's the parable of the soils. There were different types of soil in the same word, yes? The same word was planted but into different soils. I want to be of good soil. I want to be that soil that's fertilized by the salt of life, by the salt of God's word, by the salt of his correction and direction. I want to be a person that will be clean on the inside, not just clean on the outside. Therefore, let us move beyond the elemental teachings about Christ and be taken forward to maturity. God wants us to mature, not laying again the foundation of repentance, the acts that lead to death, and of faith in God. These are fundamental truths. If you've not repented, if you've not found Christ as a foundation, this is the foundation you need to build on. That's him. Repent and believe. If you have done that, then walk in it, that God has forgiven you. The instruction about cleansing rites, the laying on of hands, the resurrection of the dead, eternal judgment, these are things that we should already know about. I said last week, and I'll say it again this week, Christ didn't come to condemn the world. He came to save the world, but he's coming back to judge the world. And God, resurrection for the eternal judgment, and God permitting will do so. It is impossible for those who have once been enlightened to have who have tasted the heavenly gift. And this is a play on words, tasted. The word of God is something that we taste. It's got salt in it. It's a good flavor. And that's the spin I'm putting on this. And I know it's loose, but hopefully we'll gain something from it. It's about tasting the heavenly gift. And those that have shared in the Holy Spirit, who have tasted the goodness of the word of God. So I'm suggesting to us that scripture says that the salt that Jesus is talking about is not just our conduct, not just our attitude, but his word. His word. It's the goodness of the word of God. We who have tasted the goodness of the word of God and the powers of the coming age, who have fallen away to be brought back to repentance. There's a warning there for us. God wants us to keep on keeping on. To their loss, they are crucifying the Son of God all over again and subjecting him to public disgrace. Land that drinks in the rain, often falling on it, and that produces a crop useful for those to whom it is farmed, receives the blessing of God. There is a blessing when the rain of God, when the word of God, I am the water of life, when we drink of him, it says we'll never thirst again. When his word falls on the land, it will produce a good harvest. But the land that produces thorns and thistles is worthless and is in danger of being cursed. In the end, it will be buried or it will be burned. Even though we speak like this, dear friends, we are convinced of better things in your case. This is the encouraging part for the church that has been spoken to here. The things that have to do with salvation. God is not unjust. He will not forget your work and the love you have shown him as you have helped his people and continue to help them. So how do we show God love? By loving his people and loving him. But when each of you show this, and you show the same diligence till the very end, so that you hope, your hope, do you know what? If you know me, you know I'm dyslexic, and I'm just reading through scripture here, and I haven't highlighted it, and it's just going into one, so I'm going to start again from verse 11. We want each of you to show the same diligence to the very end, so that what you hope for may be fully realized. We do not want you to become lazy, but to imitate those who through faith and patience inherit what has been promised. God has a promise for you. Yes, he wants us to be salt. Yes, he wants us to be light. Yes, he wants us to have flavour. Yes, he wants us to fertilise the ground when we walk. He wants good soil. Yes, he wants us to be a cleansing influence on people. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. One of the things that we was having a conversation, Jill and I, earlier was this. We are all equal because we've all sinned. We've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But praise be to God, we've been redeemed, we've been set free. And that same hope is the message that the salt in our life should be displaying in those around us. Let's not lose our saltiness, because if we do, if we lose the power of God, if we lose the gift of God in our lives, then when we speak to people, it won't be a cleansing force. It won't be fertilizer that will cause others to be stimulated and grow. The Bible says iron sharpens iron. When Christian and Christian get together and they wrestle, we expand, we stretch one another, and we move forward. So let's not lose our saltiness. Let's be those that walk forward, knowing that his word is salt to us, knowing that there's a good taste when we speak, when we digest it, knowing that there is a cleansing influence. In Colossians 4:6, it says this, Let your conversation be always full of grace. In Ephesians 4:29, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those that listen. Let's be salt in our conversations. Let your conversation always be full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. The Bible says, always be ready to give an answer for the hope that you have. Season that answer with salt so that it will produce a harvest, because it's fertilizer, because it's a good taste. Speak the truth, because the truth will set you and others free. In 2 Kings 2:21, it says this, then he went out to the spring and threw the salt into it, saying, this is what the Lord says, I have healed this water. Never again will it cause death or make the land unproductive. Now, I want to take this just slightly out of context and just use the fact that salt was used to bring healing, to bring goodness, and that the land would be productive, because that's the opposite to unproductive. When we, being those that are in Christ, being salted by his word, when we are sown into our communities, there will be a productiveness, if that's the right word. Not death, but life. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death. The gift of God is life, and life in all its fullness. So as we, you and me, we sow light, generosity, watch what we say, how we say it, use God's word. As we be in the salt and we're sown into our communities, where there's death, there'll be life. When you go into a school, where there's death, there'll be life. When you go into a home, where there's death, there's life. When you go onto an allotment, where there's death, there's life. Because where you are, God is also. There's a great scripture, I can't quote it, but I'll paraphrase it, where the disciples are on the sea, and it says there's a great squall, there's a turbulence all around them, and Jesus commands the wind and the waves to be still. Be still. And then it says this, on the lake were lots of other little boats. I find that powerful. I'll tell you why. Because when the disciples were blessed, all of those around them were blessed too. When your business is blessed, all those around that business will be blessed. When your neighborhood is blessed because of you, the rest of the neighborhood will be blessed because of you. When you are blessed in your workplace, the rest of the workplace will be blessed. One of the things that I was reminded of some months ago was when I went to school, which was quite often, when I went to school, every morning they had assembly and we would say the Lord's Prayer, Our Father who art in heaven. And it wasn't until I became a Christian that I realized I was praying a blessing. I was praying that the salt of God's word would be thrown around. And we may think that's just a small thing, but those small things are now removed, aren't they, from certain institutions. But that was a powerful thing, because I played my part as a young man saying, Jesus come. Didn't understand it. Didn't know that God was pulling me. But because of the salt of the word, it started to clean me. Does that make sense? So let's be salt. And let's be life. And let's bring wholeness and cleanness to the places that we attend. In Mark 9:49, it says, everyone will be salted with fire. Salt is good, but if it loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? Have salt among yourselves and be at peace with one another. So how can we be salty today? Be at peace with one another. If you're upset with me, love me anyway. Let's bring peace. Let's be salt. It says everyone will be salted with fire. And you start to look at that whole image about being salted with fire. And you wonder what God is saying there. But there is a scripture that says God's coming to bring fire upon the earth. And he talks to us Christians and he says, everything you do will be tested by fire. Is that becoming familiar? It says, the gold, the silver, and the precious stones will remain, but the straw, the stubble, and the hay will be consumed, will be burnt up. So God's going to come and judge me and you with fire. He's going to see what remains in our life. The goodness, the saltiness of our lives will remain. But if we lose our saltiness, that says we're good for nothing, just to be trodden underfoot. We're not even good enough to go on the dung heap. We're no good for producing anything. So I don't know about you, but I want to keep my saltiness. And how do I do that? Well, Jesus says it himself, to remain in the vine. I am the vine, you are the branches, he says. If you remain in me, then you'll grow. There'll be pruning, but you'll be fruitful. If you don't remain in me, then you'll be cut off and you'll be thrown into the fire. So this is a good word. It's an encouraging word, even though it's a challenging word, because it's going to ask me and you to not lose our saltiness. In Romans 12, verse 9, love must be sincere. Sincere. That's a word to grapple with. Lord, salt my mind. Lord, salt my words. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling on to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Here's read through the Beatitudes. That's why we need to be blessed when we're meek and humble. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor. Keep your salt, serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those that persecute you. There's a strong word. That's why we need the salt of God's word in our life. Bless those that persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right. Be salt in the eyes of everyone. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you. Here's a challenge. That's why we need the salt of God's word in our life. Because it says this, if it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. You have a responsibility. You have a challenge. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, it is mine to avenge, I will repay, says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. In other words, you'll cause him to seek God and his presence. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. How do we do that? I'm glad you asked. By asking God to keep us salty, to keep us pure, to keep us clean, to keep us productive. I want to be productive. I want to be in the vine. I don't mind if he prunes me. Because I used to be 6 foot when I was a Christian, and now he's pruned me and I'm now 5'5". I don't mind if he prunes me, because it says when I'm pruned, I'll bear much fruit. 30, 60, 100 times I want my fruit-bearing life to be. But for you and me, the challenge is to be salty, to not lose our saltiness. Salt is good, but if it loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It's neither good for the soil or the manure pile. It is thrown out. I want to be useful, do you? I'm going to invite our worship team back to lead us in worship. We're going to let our children know that they can come back in if they want. And I just want to leave you with the challenge of saying, Lord, keep me salty. Lord, let the words that I speak be salted with love. Lord, let the very steps that I take cause growth. Lord, where there's death, let me walk in and bring your life. Lord, where there's sorrow, let me bring your joy. Lord, where there's turmoil, let me bring your peace. Salt me, Lord, that I may be who you've called me to be. If anyone builds... Finish with this. For no one can lay any foundation other than the one that's already laid, which is Jesus Christ. That's what we build on, isn't it? In Christ, the solid rock I stand. That's what we build on. If anyone builds on this foundation using gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, and straw, their work will be shown for what it is, because the day will bring it to light. It will be revealed by fire. There we go. Linking the two scriptures, it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test the quality of each person's work. Lord, come and test me. Make me salty. And it goes on to say that if it's burnt, it will suffer loss. I don't want you to suffer loss in your life. I want you to be fruitful and productive. So let's take the salt of God's word, and let's allow him to manifest in us and through us, that we may be peace and joy and revelation, restoration, reconciliation, that we may be peacemakers, that we may bring people to the foot of the cross, that they may repent and turn and find God for themselves. Be salt and be light. Amen.